Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. He is Charles County's first Black sheriff. Troy Berry has been on the job in one of the D.C. region's fastest growing areas. And tonight, as part of our ongoing Black history conversations, we sit down with Sheriff Berry to get his perspective on law and order and many other issues in Charles County. If you have a comment, if you have a question for the sheriff, you're welcome to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lines are open, and we will take as many phone calls as we can. Also, as always, we will be, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Sheriff, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Harold, it's wonderful to be here with you this evening.
Thank you. You've been on the job now for more than 4 years. Do you still feel the pressure or the burden of history being the first Black sheriff in Charles County?
It is a wonderful experience to be able to be to make history. As I said in my opening remarks when I was sworn in, I did not run to make history. I ran to make a difference. So there is I understand that I stand on the shoulders of many people that afforded me the opportunity to ever put my name on a ballot, and I'm very appreciative of that. And I always are mindful and respectful of that fact.
How do you believe that during these 4 years or so that you have been able to make a difference?
One thing, Harold, that I wanted to do, and I thought that there was a particular void, particularly in 2014, I saw what was going on nationally, that there was definitely a wedge between the community and law enforcement, and particularly with our young people. And I wanted to make sure that as the sheriff's office moved forward in Charles County, we made a difference in young people's lives. Working with mentoring groups and working with schools and allowing our young people to see law enforcement in a different light.
Mm-hmm. For people in the immediate metro area of the District of Columbia, you have county police. You have Montgomery County Police. You have Prince George's County Police. Usually, when you're talking about sheriff's departments, for example, in Prince George's, they deal with a lot of serving of warrants. Certainly, a very dangerous job, to say the least. But they aren't necessarily, and they do a lot of other things, but they aren't necessarily the ones that are patrolling the streets as they do with the county police. How is your job different for those that aren't familiar with sheriff's departments in this area?
And thank you for asking that question, because it is an education piece. Each county has a different charter and way it's set up. In Charles County, the Charles County Sheriff's Office is the main law enforcement entity. We, if you call the emergency number 911 or the non-emergency numbers, you're going to get the Charles County Sheriff's Office. And it just depends on how your charter is set up in your county. We are the main law enforcement entity. But as sheriff, I also have constitutional duties through the state where I oversee our detention facilities that we have, and I oversee courthouse security at our courthouse, and also have other constitutional duties like sheriff sales, evictions, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And the county police in Prince George's, Montgomery, they do some of that as well. But to put it flat-footed and plain-spoken, when it comes to law enforcement, you are the man, and your department is the department.
Yes.
Yeah, certainly. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking with Sheriff Troy Berry from Charles County. This is part of our Black history conversation, but of course we're talking about many issues involving law and order in Charles County. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. We've got a call already. Let's go to William. William calling from Hyattsville. William, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? William, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, I was calling in reference to what is Sheriff Barry going to do in terms of recruiting more black officers to Charles County?
William, thank you very much for that call. We always, in the law enforcement community, particularly in Charles County, we want to have a law enforcement entity reflective of the community we serve. During my first 4 years, we had someone come in and we hired an individual specifically to go out in the community to recruit. We know that in the metropolitan area, if you are interested in law enforcement, you have a number of law enforcement agencies that you can apply to. So we're working with recruitment. We received a grant to have a recruitment grant to be able to put information on our YouTube videos, and we're specifically going out to some of our HBCUs. We're going out to the Hispanic community, and I'm going to be talking on another Hispanic radio in the next couple of weeks promoting the sheriff's office. So we understand that our agency is not reflective of the community we serve, but we definitely are putting our efforts to make that happen.
William, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Why do you think the department is not reflective of the community?
Well, I don't think historically it was a priority. So when I first came into the sheriff's office, there was 13% diversity within the sheriff's office. And as of about the 2010 census, Charles County was a majority minority community. So we're definitely we're underserved, not just in African Americans. We're underserved in women, Hispanics. So we're definitely want to be able to go out and compete and bring those people to our agency and explain it's a wonderful community to live, to raise a family, for the kids to go to school. And we pay a competitive wage and a competitive wage in the metropolitan region.
You talk about some of the demographic changes in the county as a native of this area. And I kind of joked with you before the program started, you know, growing up in Prince George's County. And if we, you know, my parents, not me, but if my parents had any friend living in Charles County, the reaction was always, why are you living way down there? Because back in the 70s, you know, Charles County was rural. It was God's country. It was bucolic. And yet it also had a reputation for not being a bastion of racial unity as well. How has the county changed? And because you've been with the department longer than you've been sheriff. You've been with the department for quite some time.
Yes. I've been with the sheriff's office for 27 years. And, of course, the last 4 years have been as the sheriff there. And we understand that there has been some significant historical issues. But as we move forward, it is a branding issue, too. Letting people know, just like what we talked about, everyone knows about Prince George's County and what Prince George's County Police Department does, but a lot of time people hear sheriff's office, they really don't understand that it's a full-service law enforcement entity. I have nearly 700 staff members at the Charles County Sheriff's Office with police officers, correctional officers, where we run two detention facilities, and the remainder of our staff members are civilian personnel. So it's an education piece of letting people know that there is a wonderful opportunity to work within the sheriff's office. We do advertisements on message boards. We are doing us targeting our female population, letting them know that they're welcome and wanted within the law enforcement community in Charles County. And we do have a criminal justice program at North Point High School in Waldorf, where we're trying to cultivate and recruit young people to get into law enforcement. So we are doing a number of things to try to bring our profile a little more in the forefront than some of the other law enforcement entities in the region.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to Charles County Sheriff Troy Barry. If you have a question or a comment, lines are open again at 202-319-7810. In back to the point that I was making, what are some of the changes that you have observed in the county, not the department so much, in the county that present challenges and other issues, you know, for your job and the job of the rank and file deputies?
Oh, some of the challenges from a law enforcement perspective that we have is not specifically to Charles County, but is a national issue that we're seeing an issue in regards to heroin and opiate issues in our community. And probably the last couple of years, we saw that we were having a number of overdoses. And within the first year of me becoming sheriff, we implemented a program where our officers carried Narcan on their belts. Mm-hmm. And Narcan is an naloxone program where that we use it, it can reverse the effects of opioid. So when we get those calls for opioid issues, we can respond to administer the medication and save people. We have saved a number of people. We, in reference to our heroin issue, I put message boards out in our community with the help number from our health department, talk about the lives, number of lives that we have saved in regards to the Narcan program, the lives that we have lost, and the number of overdoses, bringing more awareness to that, hoping that people begin to have some frank conversations with our young people about being involved in drugs. In Charles County, we have a three-tier approach. It's education. We have a number of school resource officers in all of our high schools and middle schools where we talk about drug issues. But we also have an enforcement piece where we work closely with our federal partners to go not just after drug users but after the dealers. But we also are working with our faith-based communities and others to those individuals that are incarcerated that are going to be coming back to our homes and to our streets. And the question is what are they coming back to? So hopefully we can help with our faith-based community and other initiatives to put a safe net together so they can continue on and be very productive citizens and not find themselves back in incarceration.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Charles County Sheriff Troy Berry about law and order and many other issues in the county. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Felicia, calling from Maryland. Hey, Felicia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
My question, Sheriff Berry, is this. I was a resident in the Lancaster community from 2007 to 2014. My biggest issue when I was a resident was the drug dealing, prostitution in the community of Lancaster. I saw that the police were more so targeting traffic, that they didn't really target the neighborhood as much. I was on the HOA committee. I was very vocal, but it just seemed like it wasn't enough support. I left Charles County because of that. For example, there's a Food Lion in that community that still has prostitution and they still sell drugs behind that store. And I don't understand why we can't clean it up.
Sure.
I just like your comments about it.
Felicia, thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. We are aware that we have some issues or hot spots in the Waldorf area. And what we do, sometimes we will have an overt presence, meaning that we have officers that are in uniform or in the cruisers that will go through the neighborhoods. But we also would deploy officers on bikes. And sometimes we would have officers in covert assignments. So what we ask that our citizens do, and it sounds like you're very much engaged and involved, is that if you see something, say something. And it sounds like you did that. So we try to work very closely with our homeowners association, getting that information about particular issues that are in the community. And just recently, in order for us to make sure we keep our communities safe, we have received a grant where we have a number of additional community-oriented police officers coming in our community so we can work really or more closely with residents and with our homeowners associations to address those specific issues that you have identified. So we're working with additional staffing, leveraging with our federal partners, getting additional grants so we can mitigate those particular issues that are occurring in our communities.
Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking with Charles County Sheriff Troy Berry. This is part of our conversation during Black History Month, talking to an interesting, significant, important newsmakers in the community, of course, Sheriff Barry being just one of those individuals. But lines are still open. And remember, we will continue to take phone calls even after 7:30. So if you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise that I will take your phone calls even after 7:30. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Kobe calling from Waldorf. We're going to talk to Mark calling from Maryland. We're also going to talk to Tanya calling from West Virginia. So please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the conversation. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are continuing our conversation with Charles County Sheriff Troy Barry, part of our Black History series of conversations. He is the first Black sheriff in Charles County, breaking a glass ceiling there. If you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to talk to you about something that certainly is you know, quite heartbreaking. Earlier this month, you lost a deputy, Corporal Patrick Mann, PJ. Self-inflicted gunshot wound. Mental health is an issue that the entire nation is grappling with. And certainly when it comes to law enforcement, it is a particularly poignant issue. After the loss of Corporal Mann, what conversations have you had with your deputies, your department?
Harold, thank you for bringing that to the forefront. We do take the loss of Corporal Patrick Mann very seriously, and our condolences go out to the family, and they are definitely in our thoughts and prayers. Through all of our staff, we have what is called, we have a wellness program, where not only we worry about the physical fitness of our staff members, but we also concern about the mental health of our staff members. We have various programs when they go through and involve in a situation where it is very traumatic. We have what is called debriefings. We bring in counselors for officers to talk through particular situations. Not just our officers. It could be our correctional staff. It could be our civilian staff, because we are very mindful of our civilian staff, because we do have 911 call takers that take the emergency calls, and they could be just as traumatized as our correctional staff and also our sworn.
Pretty stressful job.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So we bring in counselors to do debriefings, which are mandatory debriefings. And we also have had various trainings. We had a training about a little over a year ago where it was a wellness training where we encouraged our staff members to come and bring their significant others there, and where they have a frank conversation about wellness. So maybe that the officer may not be in a position or be very open about how they're feeling, but their significant other can see some of these particular warning signs where someone may not be dealing with particular issues very well and can urge them towards some additional counseling. So we do have wellness checks on our staff. We do have counselors that help our staff out through traumatic events, and we do have periodic trainings for our staff and their significant others in reference to this particular issue in regards to mental health.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kobe calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Kobe. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just had a comment. I just wanted to give an accolade because I feel like the Sheriff's Department is very responsive in our community. And also, the presence in my neighborhood, I live in Carrington, they're always coming through just to check out the neighborhood, to make sure everything is okay. And I think that's wonderful. And I've been a resident coming from PG County. I've been a resident for 3 years now. And I just wanted to thank the Sheriff's Office for all that they do in our community.
Kobe, thank you very much for those kind words. We work very hard, and we cannot be successful if we do not have a wonderful relationship with the community. It's going to be any law enforcement entity that chooses to think that they're going to be successful without the support of community is missing the mark. We appreciate your support and always encourage your neighbors in your community. If you see something, say something, because we want to always be engaged and involved.
Kobe, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mark, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's on your mind?
I have a question for Officer Barry. What is the protocol like for a domestic issue when the sheriffs are coming out? Should they talk to both parties, or do they just talk to the female party and make a decision to arrest? What's the protocol?
Well, when we respond to any call, Mark, we always want to, if it's a domestic-related situation, we always try to diffuse the situation. If it's a verbal situation, we normally separate the parties. And that is a call, the protocol, that we would send more than one officer to that particular call. Normally, that is a two-officer response to that particular call. We separate the parties and try to find out whatever the issue is. If it's a verbal situation, we may offer some advice, maybe ask one of the family members to leave the home and for a cooling off period. But if there is an assault, allegation of assault or evidence of assault, we still would talk to both parties, and then based on the facts and the circumstances of the case, arrests would maybe made or maybe advice would be given during that circumstance. It just depends. But to the crux of your question, we do talk to both parties. At least in the Charles County Sheriff's Office, we talk to both parties in reference to domestic situations.
Okay. Mark?
I was arrested in October and for a domestic situation, and I went through the whole process. I was arrested, locked up for 3 days. I went to court. Everything was thrown out. Everything I was charged for was thrown out. But still, nobody, even in the court, has heard, you know, my side of the story, which I lost my job behind being arrested on a bogus charge.
Well, Mark, I don't know the specifics about your case. If you'd like to leave your number here at the station, we'd be more than happy to give you a call back, and I can look specifically in your case.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Mark, do us a favor. Don't hang up. My producer will pick up, and she will get your information, and we'll pass it on to the sheriff after the program. But thank you so much for calling. Before I go back to the phone lines, one of the other things has happened recently, and certainly you're aware of this. There have been some reports of the distribution of Ku Klux Klan flyers in Charles County. This is not only an issue in Charles County. Certainly St. Mary's has had its issue over the past month or so. Loudoun County, Virginia has seen, the past month and the past several months, Loudoun County has seen the distribution of the KKK flyers. And one of the things in Loudoun County that officials there are struggling with is freedom of speech versus the impact that it has on the community. Your reaction to this?
Harold, it's very sad that people still promote these hate messages out here in our communities. Like you said, we did have some flyers that were leaflets that were left on the lawns on some of our citizens in our community and in the neighboring jurisdiction. We did work very closely with some of our federal authorities, and we were able to identify the person that would that did this with the flyers that distributed flyers in the region. And basically what you said, it is freedom of speech, and probably the worst thing based on the law that we could potentially do that individual is charging for littering. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate where we are today, and it's just a sad state of affairs. And we did identify that individual, and we have followed up on that particular case.
What kind of relationship have you had with the NAACP in the county, and what have they said about this? What are their concerns?
The NAACP, we have a really good relationship with the NAACP. We meet regularly. In reference to particular issues in the community. And that's one thing that we wanted to do as I took office. I worked closely with outgoing President Janice Wilson in Charles County. And we had quarterly meetings because my whole thing is I just didn't want to meet when a issue comes in a community where we're in crisis. I wanted us to sit down and have a dialogue and how can we go about educating our citizens about, one, what law enforcement does. We have various campaigns where we work closely with the NAACP, particularly their youth group, where we talked about a program that came through the sheriff's office that I was talking to young people where they talked about learning of what you need to do when you engage with law enforcement or on a traffic stop. And there was a campaign that I had which I said comply with officers' request. And if you have an issue that you believe that the officer wasn't doing their job fairly, then complain later. So that was the message that we were putting out to the young people in our community, is to comply with the request. Then there's a formalized process to complain if you believe that the officers didn't do what they needed to do.
But on the issue of some of these racial-related issues, what has the NAACP said? Because for any person of color, not just black people, but any person of color, you mentioned recruiting Hispanic officers and the like. So there is a growth in minorities in the county. How can you deal with KKK flyers, the growth of the black population and the brown population? Do you have any thoughts of how to bridge that racial gap?
Well, getting to the point of the stance of the NAACP, they were appalled by those flyers being in the community, and they went very public in reference to taking a very taking a stance about that hate messages won't be tolerated in the community, and they want to just educate young people moving forward. But I think you have to look at this isolated, this singular person that's going around spreading this hate message out here. I think from my perspective, being in Charles County for over 27 years, it's a very welcome community. And to your point, you know, I think that it's a very diverse community, and we're moving forward, and it's a majority-minority community, but we just have to continue to work together and not allow this particular hate message to divide us.
Well, you remember back in 2007 and 2008, some of the new developments that were being built, some would call them McMansions, some just big houses, whatever, and you had a lot of black people moving in the housing. You got more house for less money than you did in a Prince George's or a Montgomery or a Fairfax or a Loudoun, but there were house burnings, and they were, you know, racially motivated. And so even as the county may be seen as, you know, as welcoming, it still may give some people pause, even as they watch the changes that have happened, say over the 10 years. What do you tell them about that history?
Mm-hmm. Well, that you're referring to the Hunters Brook community. There was some homes that were burned in there, and you have to take credit. Charles County Sheriff banded with our federal authorities, and we made a number of arrests in that particular situation. And again, it was a very mean-spirited act of violence in reference to some diverse people moving into our community. And again, you continue to have to just wedge down and can be positive in that regard. We have seen people who have tried to divide us with hate literature. We have seen people to try to divide the community with hate speech. We have seen people to try to divide the community over time, that is, in reference to acts of burning some time ago. But the thing is that the positive nature of Charles County is moving forward. This community, you see that we have a lot of things to be proud of in Charles County. Our school systems, our kids are doing phenomenal in the school systems. The median income of our community is going up, and it is going up in that regard. So there's a lot of wonderful things that are occurring. And one thing I want to say about Charles County is that it's a very benevolent community. It gets behind various messages, whether it's the March of Dimes, whether that's Christmas Connections, whether that's Christmas in April. It's a very giving community. So I will say that these acts, these particular incidents that have occurred, sparse incidents that have occurred in Charles County, can never wipe away what is good about Charles County. It is a really good community, and it looks out for each other and cares for one another.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tanya, calling from West Virginia. Tanya, don't hang up. You are next after this break. We continue our conversation with Charles County Sheriff Troy Berry. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Charles County's Sheriff Troy Berry. Let me go to the phone lines. Tanya, calling from West Virginia. Thanks for calling, Tanya. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing?
Just fine.
Good. I have, I'm requesting, sheriff services in regards to tenants that I have in that county, and I've been receiving complaints of nuisances, and I don't want to appear biased in either's favor, and I've saved all texts and notes in regards to these conversations, nor have I discussed either tenant with the other. I ask pertinent questions, but not nosy ones. It's just been quite of an ordeal from my perspective, because I just call them and I just reiterate the rules of the lease, and I even wanted them to meet together so we could have a discussion about the issues and hearing them both out and giving them time to change their behaviors. But it just seems as if they're just destined to quarrel. So my efforts to keep them both safe and my retiree neighbors, I'm concerned with should I make the sheriff aware, because there isn't any police reports. I called and there weren't any. But should their actions escalate, they've lived there maybe a year. So, and I was sure their attitudes and temperament would be a good fit when I showed them both the place. But I just get constant calls and texts, since move-in day. And it's just my next action is I just want to be proactive in making them both aware that I was in the process of getting some answers, hopefully from you, as far as how do I proceed? Because as you said, mental health is an issue, that our entire nation is grappling with. And I don't know, what situations they're going through. But,
Tanya, let's see if the sheriff can at least try to address your issues. Sheriff, please.
Yes, Tanya, thank you for the question. So if I hear you correctly, you're having problems with your tenants. And in the general area, your neighbors are complaining in reference to some of the behaviors of the person that is renting your establishment?
Yes, I have two townhouses that are connected. And not only the neighbors, but also the tenant. The tenant's complaining of the other tenant, and then I get it's back and forth, I don't think it's my responsibility to call the sheriff. They pay. They like the place. They're very comfortable to live in. They're up to date and everything, but they're just constantly at each other. And I don't know, they both have, license to carry firearms. One guy's, he does, what he does. And so it's just a situation where if it gets out of hand, I don't want it to get to that point, but neither wants to move. So from your point of view, you know, as a landlord, am I to call, should I be calling you and saying, hey, this is what's going on tonight? They, you know, I've received complaints. I mean, I'm sure if something was going to happen, it would have happened. But yet and still, I don't think it's my, you know, duty to call mm-hmm. you. I think it's the duty of the tenants to call you. And then if not, what is it that I'm mandatory, you know, as far as watching signs, you know, for these traumatic events that we reference that are the issues in regards to mental health? Because I know that possibly one may have a mental health issue, but there isn't any, there's allegations of assault that goes on. You know, I get that, but, you know, it's having an impact on the retirees and the community. I mean, it's, like I said, it's an unfortunate, sad state of affairs, but, and I don't know how to follow up on these individuals.
Sheriff, please.
Yes, Tanya, what I would suggest that if you, it can encourage your tenants, if there are criminal acts of behavior that are going on that we need to be aware of, we are more than happy to respond to those particular situations. Now, you also have mentioned that there are some people that you're renting to may have some mental health issues and they're in possession of a firearm. So if they're exhibiting some questionable behavior that you believe that they're a danger to themselves and others, that we can go over to the home and make an assessment ourselves. As of October last year, we have something in the state of Maryland, which is a new law called ERPOs. They're called Extreme Risk Protective Orders. If we believe that someone is not mentally, is exhibiting some factors that causing a potentially be a risk to themselves or others, we may be able to go in the home and take the firearm for safekeeping if the firearm is a particular issue. But what we also have, if it hasn't met to a criminal in nature, what you could do is leave your number here at the station. We can also offer mediation services for those particular people in reference to your tenants. And hopefully through mediation, they'll be able to resolve that particular issue.
That sounds like a good idea. Tanya, would you mind staying on the line so that my producer can get your information, and then we will make sure that that information is passed on to the sheriff's staff?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your calling, and good luck to you. Sheriff, one of the other issues that has been, you know, particularly difficult in Prince George's County is traffic on I-10, Indian Head Highway. And, of course, that goes through Prince George's and Charles County. What kind of issues, if any, have you had with 210? It, at least in Prince George's, it has been considered one of the most dangerous stretches of highway in the state. The county executive has been to Annapolis, the Prince George's County Council, the chief of police. Anyone who has a title has dealt with this. What has been your experience in your county with this issue of traffic there?
We have had some issues in regards to Route 210. In that, like you said, that goes through Prince George's County and connects with Charles County. And the main contributing factor to all of those incidents, or it was two contributor factors, either people are impaired or there's speed or a combination of both. So we're working with our State Highway Administration and the Maryland State Police to increase enforcement on the Charles County end, and just to have people to be more cognizant in reference to their driving behaviors, because that is a contributing factor there. We're also, I know that in Prince George's County, that they're looking at potentially having some speed cameras it's installed on 210 and to address those particular issues. Now, we do work with the Maryland State Police, and we do join initiatives like DWI checkpoints. And we also get grant funding from the state in reference to safe highway grants to do additional initiatives like distracted driving. And 210 is one of those areas in which we help out with the Maryland State Police in the Charles County area.
I only have about a minute or so left. Since you've been Sheriff, since you were elected, what is the thing that has surprised you the most on your job?
Harold, that's a really good question. As far as surprising, the one difficult thing is working through, working through our budgetary process in the county. And the last Board of County Commissioners was very difficult to work with in regards to understanding the needs of a law enforcement entity and keeping the community safe. As far as staffing, as you have articulated in your opening remarks, how quickly Charles County is growing. And unfortunately, we weren't able to keep pace with the population growth in the county. And coming up with a responsible way to grow your sheriff's office or grow your law enforcement entity to meet the changing and current needs of a community. So that has been one of the most surprising and most difficult things. But we have a new county commissioner board, and we just today had a really positive conversation of how we need to move the county forward to keep the community safe. That's not just through staffing, through technology and other means of keeping the community safe. But I will say that Charles County is a good place. In the last 4 years, we have seen the crime rate grow down in Charles County over 20% through various initiatives that we have implemented.
Charles County Sheriff Troy Berry, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be in touch. I really appreciate you coming in, Sheriff.
Thank you very much, Earl. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, February 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.